Well, welcome back to another podcast. My audience has told me that stories they're really interested in are people who have reinvented themselves in retirement. And my guest today certainly has done that. His name is Naren Simone. Naren, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And so I'm not going to tip the beans. I want to take you through your whole life. Since this is not a video, this is an audio, I'm going to say that Naren is an Indian. Not one of those Indians, a real Indian. Where did you grow up?
Well, as you said, I was born in India and originally hailed from Rajasthan, northwest of India. And I grew up all over India. So I went to several colleges, a couple of different universities, and lived in many towns.
Mm. And then you wound up going to college, to university in England, right?
That's right. I went to do my master's in chemical engineering in England and ended up finishing up my master's and then following it up with doing a PhD.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, you came to Canada. Is
that right? A little pause there. After I got my PhD, I worked for the largest petrochemical corporation of UK. And then they moved me to Germany for a short while. From there, I moved to Sweden. And from Sweden, I came to Canada.
I see. And how long were you actually in Canada the first time?
First time I was in Canada, no more than 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a recession, so-called recession, technical recession in Canada because of oil prices. So I left Canada and I traveled to Middle East and I worked in Saudi Arabia.
And how many years did you work in Saudi Arabia?
In Saudi Arabia, I was 7 years, followed by 1 year in Singapore and 2 years in India.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a good chance that very few of our listeners will have experienced Saudi Arabia. So would you tell us a little bit about what life was like there?
In Saudi Arabia, times are changing rapidly. So every 10 years, it's a new, evolving Saudi Arabia. When I was there, that was in the late 80s, Saudis have just found how to enjoy their oil wealth. So they were in the building phase, just like people heard of Dubai. So that's how the early or mid-80s were in Saudi Arabia. Tremendous amount of development, tremendous welcome to the expats. They really appreciated expats who brought technical knowledge, expertise, and technology to them.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the, what I call the golden times of the Middle East at the time. And life was good. Unlike the propaganda a lot of people see in the newspapers, life actually was very easy and very good and definitely very positive, both for career building and for raising family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember your stories that if you went to the airport on every Friday, there was one jet going to London and one jet going to Paris, and you just get on, right?
That's right. Aramco actually had two private jumbo jets, and at the beginning of the weekend, one went actually to Milan, one went to Paris, and free of charge, you can get on it and have a good weekend and come right back.
That's awesome. And so when did you leave Saudi Arabia?
I left Saudi Arabia actually in 1993, and I went to Singapore for a year.
I see.
I was still working for a Saudi corporation, setting up their Southeast Asia marketing development program.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I came back to Saudi for only for a few months. And then I was hired by a U.S. corporation out of Alaska to be their CEO for international business, but based out of India,
mm-hmm.
where we had made a joint venture.
Okay.
So 95 to 97, then I was in India.
And so when did you actually retire from your old job?
Good question. I think I never retired.
Mm-hmm.
From a full-time job, I did retire about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then I kept my consulting firm to help small to mid-sized companies and take them to Asia and Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
That I finally shut down only early this year.
Okay. And so the real reason I have you in here is to talk about your new career. Tell people what you're doing and how that evolved.
10 years before the retirement, it actually started there. And all my life, I had planned every move because I believe that destiny is nothing more than planned actions. And if you understand the probables and the possibles and work on those, you can carve your own destiny between those two. And just like you can't be a medical doctor till you go to medical college, you can't be a lawyer if you go to a law school, I don't think you should retire till you know what you're going to retire to. And that takes time, that takes planning, that takes education. So I started about 10 years before I was going to retire. And I tried my hands at many things, from scuba diving, to snorkeling, to alpine skiing, to kayaking, to mountain tracking, to writing, to golfing, all of that, mm-hmm. to see what works for me, where my passion lies. And this is where I found that writing is my true passion, mm-hmm. and hence I picked writing as a career.
And so you write books, primarily novels up till now.
Yeah.
And how many books have you written?
So I started 5 years ago writing, and I just finished writing my 23rd book.
23 books in 5 years,
yep.
is a very awesome production, I would think, for any
yeah.
writer. And tell us your favorite story to give people a taste of what your books are like.
Okay, my books are in different genres. So one of my popular genres is mystery. And I thought people like suspense and mysteries. And people like to solve mysteries, so they like to read mysteries. And I thought, wouldn't that be a wonderful vehicle through which to bring out human rights issues? And there are several out there, especially in India, in developing countries, anything like India. So I picked up a whole variety of human issues that are out there and wrapped them into a mystery and thriller book. And to do that, I created a protagonist, a female protagonist of FBI, and send her out on international missions, trying to solve a murder mystery, but through that, also bring the human rights issue.
Mm.
And I think the combination of that, the undertone of that human rights, which also appeals to a wide range of audience, seems to have caught on. So those are actually my most popular books right now.
So this is a you've written a number of novels around this heroine?
Yes, that is correct. Her name is Sophie Kremer. And her debut novel, first novel, is the one which has been picked up now by major international TV corporations, and they're going to turn that into a TV series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. people can find your books on Amazon?
Yes, all my books are available on Amazon. Yeah.
Okay. And just to give you the spelling of his name, it's Naren Simone, Simone.
Correct.
And 23 books, huh? That is, that's quite incredible.
That's
production.
What happens when you find a passion. Yes.
And you told me off the air. Tell the audience about your new book.
Okay, the newest book actually is a historical fiction. It's my first historical fiction. I was very intrigued when all the 50, 60-year-old files were declassified about the death of Hitler. And to everybody's amazement, they begin to figure out that nobody really knows what happened to him and how he died. So I went to Berlin last year to research it. And I hired a historian and spent a week with her. And she explained to me a variety of conspiracy theories that involved, as well as I went to all the places, went to where the bunker was, and got to talk to a whole bunch of students who, what they think, what happened. And after about 3 weeks of research, I got home, and in the process, I learned yet another story, which only coming out 5 years ago, and it's stories about an Indian royal princess who was the biggest British spy, worked behind the enemy lines during World War II, and has a major credit to her as to why war was brought to an early end and saving millions of lives. Nobody ever heard of her. And today, she's given the highest military awards by Britain and France. France even has a national holiday in her honor. They even have named a street after her. It's still a lot of people have not heard about her. So I put her story, and her death is also a mystery, and Hitler's death together in a historical fiction. So it's a fictional ending.
Sure.
And you will know that when I tell you the title. It's called The Girl Who Shot Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And that book currently is also in front of 20th Century Fox and Sony Pictures because they are negotiating rights to make a movie out of it.
I see. And that book has been written and is available in the Amazon store now.
Sorry, no, it's written but not yet published because the groups that are interested right now, they have put a hold on it till they decide if they want to go ahead or not.
I see. I see. So if people would like to find out more about you, how would they proceed?
I have a website called www.simonebooks.com. At that website, there is my bio available. It tells you how I started into writing business. It also gives you free downloads of various help guides I have written on how to write a book, how to publish a book, how to even raise financing for a book, why write fiction, why write humor. All those help guides are there. In addition, there's a contact form. Anybody in the community can contact me, and I'll be very happy, free of charge, to provide any help I can.
Okay, well, Niren is a good example of someone who had a successful business career but has totally reinvented himself in retirement. And we're so glad to have you in the community, and look forward to more of your books coming out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
And so that's going to wrap up another podcast. If you're enjoying these, please look on the website and look up an inch or down an inch. We've done more than 70 of them now. And I think that there will be several of them in there that'll catch your eye. And so until next time, thank you for listening.